Hello and welcome to our Voices for Innovation webinar. My name's Jonathan Freibert, and I manage the Voices for Innovation community. Very happy to have everyone with us today. I know we have a few new people. This may be your first time participating in a Voices for Innovation webinar, so let me just do a quick introduction about what Voices for Innovation is. We are a Microsoft-supported community. And we work with Microsoft partners and really anybody who's interested in learning about and having a conversation about Microsoft public policy issues that impact the technology sector, that impact your companies, that impact your customers. And we also provide for folks that participate in the program what we think is interesting content and. We're very excited to have Margot Day with us here today. So let me just do a quick introduction and then we'll get going. Margot is the Vice President of U.S. Education for Microsoft. She's responsible for our U.S. education strategy and sales to K-12 and higher education customers across the U.S., and she leads a national team that focuses on working with institutions, faculty, students, and other key stakeholders in education. She has more than 28 years of experience in technology, ranging from software sales to marketing, business development, partner and channel management, has been at Microsoft for the past 11 years. But I've heard Margot present a few times, and what really impresses me about Margot is her passion for really making a difference in people's lives. And if you read her bio, you can see that she took a year personal leave absence from Microsoft to really focus on making an impact with children. When she went to raise funds and awareness for the Kenya Child Protection and Education Project, partnering with World Vision. And you'll see when Margot presents today, you'd see really, how. Well, we're talking about Microsoft and what we're trying to do with education. It's really about using technology to impact and have a positive impact on children's lives. So, with that, Margot, I'll turn it over to you. And again, if I ask people to mute their phones. Thank you.
Great, Jonathan. Well, gosh, thank you so much for the extremely warm welcome. I certainly appreciate that. And education and making a difference in people's lives is what motivates me, and it's why I love working at Microsoft, because as a company, our mission is to enable every person on the planet to achieve more. And relative to education in particular, it's about empowering every student on the planet to achieve more. And I've seen in my own personal life what the power of education has done for me to be at the position that I'm in today, and how important teachers were, how important stretching my boundaries were, how important opening up new opportunities for me were that I never even dreamed that were possible or that I could even achieve in. Education has done so much for me, and what I've seen across the US and what I've seen globally, whether it's in Kenya or other places, is that education is the single most powerful thing that we can provide to our children so that they have an opportunity to actually achieve more and really begin to understand and fulfill their overall potential. And we're at a really, I think, important inflection point in the United States and across the world, where the economy and the things that are facing us and the challenges and opportunities that are facing us as a nation, now and for the coming decade. Sorry, someone they could just go on mute. That would be great. Education becomes the most important thing that we need to be investing in, and there's a couple of really, I think, a very important and impactful statistics. One is that two-thirds of the jobs that will exist in 10 years' time have not even been created yet, haven't even been envisioned yet, and that's from the Department of Labor. And so, we think about as a company this concept of always learning. And from a culture point of view, this is the culture that Satya Nadella, our CEO, is inculcating throughout all of Microsoft, but it also renders itself in Microsoft's role in bringing technology into education and having that technology platform be one that allows for expansive learning, to be one that allows for deep collaboration, that allows students to be in an environment where they're learning critical skills as well as the subject matter. And so education for Microsoft as a corporation is a top priority for the company. And in that, we're investing very, very significantly to ensure that our products and our product offerings line up to what the needs of education are. And so as a company, just broadly, we know and we believe that we are in a mobile-first, cloud-first world. I think we all could feel that, recognize that, absolutely know that in our own work lives. And in this context, we have three bold ambitions for the company, which you see here: reinventing productivity and business process, building the intelligent cloud platform, and creating more personal computing. And these three bold ambitions, then, as we put an education lens on them, allows our engineering teams to engineer the technologies that support these three bold ambitions to be relevant and germane for what we're doing in education. You could say in the educational context, reinvent productivity and business process would be equivalent to reinvent learning and teaching process. Create more personal computing is obvious, and that remains the same. In terms of building the intelligent cloud platform in the context of education, it really is so much about aiding students in how they're going about their research, in helping students really understand this massive world of data that we're all in, and delivering and pulling out real rich data insights, like through data visualization and the like, so that students can actually learn and propel forward. The same thing with teachers. And then also help districts and states really understand their student performance data so that not only great interventions can be brought into play, but also so that we can really begin to layer in a far more personal learning experience based on how that student is consuming and working through curriculum of a given class. And so when you begin to lay out those three bold ambitions that I just showed, we view this as the whole new era for education. And it has so much to do, as I mentioned before, with giving students the skills that they're going to need in order to be successful in a world that is fairly undefined, that they'll be walking into in 2 years, in 5 years, in 10 years. But also the real hardcore need today to also drive employability, because education is also a lot about adult retraining and helping adults that were trained for a particular career path retrain mid or even later in their careers so that they can continue to drive forward. This whole concept about learning mobility, having students be able to learn literally 24 by 7, collaborative learning approaches, which is one of the core skills for education, ubiquitous access, which fosters this 24 by 7 learning, STEAM, science, technology, engineering, the arts and mathematics, and interdisciplinary learning needs to be infused into the curriculum. And, as we all know, President Obama previewed the new computer science for all, because he believes, and so does Microsoft, that computer science is as fundamental to the future as Math is today as reading is today, and we're very aligned with what we're going to be providing in order to support that. Cloud computing is clear, and collective knowledge sharing. These are all the pieces of the fabric that are going in to this new era of education. And so, what does this mean for Microsoft? Well, we believe three things. One is that an education and excellence in education is a basic right, and it's also this socioeconomic imperative. And potential in a human being really knows no economic boundary. I've seen girls in Kenya living in the most remotest of places, that part of this project that I'm involved in, where that have been afforded and allowed for a secondary education, whereas before their only choice would have been to be married when they were 12 or 13 years old, that are now graduating high school and going on to college in areas like physics. There's one girl in particular from this very remote tribal area that was one of the highest students in the country in terms of physics. And so, whether it's in Kenya or whether it's here, human potential knows no economic boundary. What we need to be able to do is to provide excellence in education to absolutely everyone, and then be able to tap into people's creativity. Because when you put the right technology into people's hands, they do absolutely remarkable things. I was in Austin, Texas last week in Pflugerville, which is right outside of the city limits of Austin. I was at a high school there, and this particular high school, over 95% of the students there fall below the poverty line, and so they're eligible for free and reduced lunch. And this particular classroom I was in, the teacher has a semester-long program where the high school students are solving three problems. And here's the three problems. One, what's the most effective treatment for tuberculosis? Second, how do you solve the traffic congestion in the city of Austin? Third, how do you actually make anti-smoking campaigns far more effective than they are today? And guess what? They're using Minecraft. They've gamified these three challenges, and they're using Minecraft as a way for the students to create solutions based on a whole world of things that they believe will make a difference. And they've come up through deep research on what the interventions are that actually would be the most successful along those three dimensions, because they've done a whole ton of research. And so you've got this environment where you've got some kids that are really good at Minecraft and visualizing new worlds. You've got other kids in a group that's working on something that are really good at graphics and graphics design. You have other kids that are really good at programming languages, because Minecraft can be programmed. And you walk into this classroom, and there were about 35 or 40 kids that were in there that were grouped up into, five or six different teams of 5 to 7 kids. And the positive energy in this room, you could cut it with a knife. It was so palpable. And these are kids that outside of their day have really hard challenges that they're facing every single day. I use that as an example of people can really do remarkable things when technology is within reach. And then obviously, technology applied in new ways can shift behavior for inspired learning. And that's what this is all about. And so, I've touched on our mission about empowering every student on the planet to achieve more. And so, when we think about then who is Microsoft in education, we think about the technologies that we bring to this to ensure that they create immersive and very inclusive learning experiences for teachers and students, and begin to foster this teaming and this collaborative environments that can either be physically in a classroom or don't have to be. And that's this wonder of and the fantasticness about technology. And so I'll go through and I'll touch on some of these pillars. What this means is that students and teachers helping them should be able to create and share in entirely new ways. And you teach through learning and exploring. You know, really, gone are the days. Like when I was going through school, it was very lecture-centric. And in many cases, it still is. And that's not the best way for everybody to learn. At the same time, we also know that there are a lot of people with different learning styles, whether people have a dyslexia or ADHD, or they are sight impaired. And so we think a ton about accommodating any and all learning styles, and then focus on the outcomes of the learning, not on technology. And so we fundamentally believe that the technology should just be there, as opposed to taking up all the time in the classroom to spin it up and get it to go as a start. And so I'll touch on a few things and give you just a few examples as we think about this. But this whole concept of creating and sharing new ways, you know, what we've done with OneNote as an example, we've laid out a whole platform so that teachers can roll out a class notebook for their students. And in this class notebook, it has three different pieces to it. It has a content library. Each individual student has their own page. There are collaboration areas in OneNote. And the amazing thing about this is that the teacher can actually go in across a whole spectrum of students and go in real time and see what the students are working on, what they're collaborating on, provide his or her input or guidance so that the teacher is immersively involved in a larger group of students, and he or she are applying their expertise to aid the learning. It's also cutting down on grading time. And so, you know, we think a lot about how OneNote and how Skype for Business comes in together in this ability to create and collaborate and share in new ways, with real-time co-authoring and real-time collaboration, in new ways to express your overall thoughts with Sway. Oh, that's right. Here we go. I just talked about this. I forgot that I had slides that actually go through it. And we'll make sure that you know you have access to these slides. But this talks about what OneNote Class Notebook actually does. Just a second. I need to close this window so that we don't worry about that part. So OneNote Class Notebook becomes a really powerful way for teachers and students to be able to collaborate individually and to collaborate as teams. And this is all part of the overall Office 365 suite. And it allows now for blended learning environments and flipping the classroom kinds of environments. And we've got it now where students can actually sign up and just do this virally, so that the technology just isn't in the way at all. It's simple and straightforward to do. For those of you that are focused on the education market, there are a lot of learning management systems that higher education institutions and K through 12 schools are using. And so we've got integration of OneNote with those learning management system solutions through a technology called LTI. And so we understand that there's a fabric and a richness overall to the instructional environment that we need to be a part of. Teaching through doing and exploring, you know, the thing that I'll talk a little bit about is this concept of computational thinking. And computational thinking is really an important skill to bring into the overall learning environment, because it helps students logically assess a large problem that they're trying to solve. So it brings in critical thinking and logical thinking skills. But as an underpinning to it, it also relies on vast sums of data. Computer science is a subset of computational thinking. And so when we think about computational thinking, we think, one, about the principles of computer science, and in part about coding, which is why, again, we're aligned to the president's initiative for computer science, for all, and as well as with the richness of data that data sources that are out there, to be able to use simple tools like Microsoft Excel to be able to do data visualizations so that students can really understand what the factors are, so that they can then begin to create solutions and then tap into a knowledge of computer science and coding to develop what those solutions are. I talked about, how Minecraft is being used, and that's the cool thing about Minecraft. And it's one of the reasons why we acquired the intellectual property for Minecraft in education, in addition to our acquisition of Minecraft a couple of years ago, because we believe that this brings a whole new world into the education environment around teaching and learning through doing and exploring. And then we have a whole variety of other programs that are available free of charge to educators and students across the board under the Microsoft Imagine brand, so that whether it's developing for games, whether it's creating mobile apps, or rich applications, whether it's setting up different websites, or whether it's through the tool of Minecraft, we have all of that available free of charge for students and teachers through Microsoft Imagine. And then for high schoolers and folks in higher education, we have Azure for student developers, which really helps student developers move into the world of the cloud. And since we're in a cloud-first world, we want to provide those tools available to students and teachers as well. Accommodating individual learning needs, I'm super excited to talk about the learning tools that that we've just released to the market. And so the learning tools for OneNote focus on students that have comprehension challenges in reading and writing. And so we've focused on students that have dyslexia, ADHD. We've worked with the top experts in the world around these items. That all happened way too fast. We've focused with the experts across the world that are experts in these key areas. That's okay, I'll just talk through it. And a week and a half ago, we released a preview of learning tools for OneNote, and it really helps eliminate the noise for kids when they're reading. And we've put this out to a community of people, and you see here that we're already getting feedback that students are going from being able to read at 8 words per minute and barely first grade proficiency to 30 words per minute. And this is such an important release that Forbes wrote an article about it a week ago Monday, and they shared that this is likely going to be the most effective and disruptive technology for all of education. And so the learning tools for OneNote is really an important, and that's an importance. That's why when we think about focusing on student outcomes, we think about delivering these kinds of technologies, in. And then at the same time, we focus a ton on ensuring a couple of things. One is that the student and the student's data and the student's experience in the classroom is safe, and also that the student information is kept private. And, we recognize the fact that many educational institutions are as large or larger than many commercial enterprise customers. You think about school districts like Los Angeles Unified School District as an example, has 640,000 kids. Well, technology in the hands of all of those students mean there are 640,000 endpoints that someone could do something rather malicious with. And so when we focus on security, we've built in security functionality from the endpoint, Windows 10, all the way back through to the entire server side of an education institution's needs. And so when we think about on the endpoint side, Windows 10 is the most secure operating system on the planet, bar none. And the wonderful thing about Windows 10 is that it scales across multiple form factors, whether it's the smallest form factor possible, like a wearable band, maybe a phone, maybe a tablet, maybe a laptop, even to the largest displays, and even into the HoloLens that that I'm sure a lot of you have heard about. And so Windows 10 has security and protection built into that so that the students' experience themselves is very secure. Things like Windows Hello, where we do facial recognition so that not only kids don't need to remember their passwords, but that the device itself is secure, biometrics, et cetera. And so the operating system itself is very, very secure. And then we have a real focus on keeping student information private as well. And so that becomes a real important piece. When kids are searching, as an example, in school, and they spend about 30% of their time online searching for content that's all part of their overall, learning material. With Bing in the classroom, we made a very conscious decision a couple of years ago to block all ads that would be rendered to a student through that searching experience, because we believe that a student experience in the school should be ad-free. And students report that they feel like they're safer online when they're using Bing as a search engine for those that are using Bing. We think a lot about student data privacy. And actually, we're one of the founding members of the student data privacy letter that was signed, because we believe that students' data needs to remain private and with the overall students. And so this becomes trying to keep out malicious activity, trying to keep out an ad-rendered experience so that students just have an opportunity to learn, and to learn in a safe environment is incredibly important to Microsoft. And then when we start thinking about just data analytics, and we start thinking about, okay, what are some of the challenges that states and school districts have in really trying to get their arms around volumes and volumes of data, and how they can use that data in very insightful ways to do a variety of things, like, for example, increasing graduation rates. This power of data analytics becomes really, really important. And then we've also established an alliance with EdFi. And EdFi has a data model that has something like 2,200 objects with it. Because when you have a standardized data model, then to be able to really drive a rich analytic experience against that data model opens up a world of possibilities. And so, as we're out there talking to our customers, we keep hearing all of these consistent themes. We keep hearing, man, we really have an issue of graduation rates. Kids are dropping out, and I need to figure out what I need to do to change our dropout rate so that we can help really students graduate high school and move on and go beyond. We need to understand better, why students are struggling. Maybe in the realm of high-stakes testing. You can see some of these other themes that are coming up. Educators and administrators want to use the power of data and analytics. They just need some help with how they do that. And so what we've done, as I've mentioned, is brought together the power of Power BI in Azure, along with the data model that goes and that can run underneath, to really bring powerful analytics to play where against some of these huge problems that schools are facing. So one of the large issues, as I've mentioned, is the issue of dropout rates and graduation rates. And the good news as a country is that, we're increasing overall our graduation rates, but that's not happening just out of luck and time. Data and analytics are really being provided and focused so that educators can really make very intelligent moves and decisions on the interventions that they're doing overall with students. One such school district is Tacoma Public Schools. And you can see here that actually now it's 3.5 years ago, they had an issue where their overall graduation rates were at 55%. And so we partnered with them with the power of Azure and Power BI and deep analytics so that they could really understand on multiple dimensions the challenges the students were facing, some of the challenges the teachers were facing, and then what the analytics would show is what then kind of interventions the district needed to do in order to help the student overcome some of the challenges that he or she were facing. And at the end of the day, it raised high school graduation rates in just a 3-year period of time, over 20 percentage points. We actually have a case study up on Microsoft.com. And so these kinds of uses of technology are become just incredibly important to us. That's the kind of assets that we're bringing, overall to these challenges in education. I think I touched on student data privacy, in my previous comments. But I think this chart does show a pretty good grounding on what we believe and how important it is for student privacy overall in the learning environment. And that's why we talk about having student data privacy focused in concepts that are clear and unambiguous, and how we are part of just a cohort of other technology companies for this industry-wide, conversation. And it's why we signed the letter that I described before. So, I wanted to leave a little bit of time for question and answers. I know I covered an entire spectrum of topics, from learning in the classroom and education transformation, and how some of the technologies at Microsoft are really bringing value into the education environment, so that our students, at the end of the day, this is what's the most important thing, is that their educational experience is the absolute best it possibly can be, so that they are prepared overall for the world that awaits them, and that they can be thriving citizens and contributors overall into the world that they will soon inherit and be stewards of. So thank you for your time and allowing me to go through this presentation. And so with that, let me open it up to different questions that you have. And so I know there was a lot of email going through in the window, and so what I wanted to do now is just take a look and see, what questions people have.
Yep. And hi, Margo. It's Jonathan.
Yeah.
So thanks again. That was an amazing presentation. So much to absorb there. Some of that chatter you were hearing is there were some network issues
Oh,
going
got it.
on,
Okay.
but I heard you had offered that you'll share your slides, so I'll be sure to share it out with people who
Yep.
dropped off. So there is one question. There was a question when you were talking about STEAM and STEM. How can partners, help get out the word, and is there a way that they can get directly involved with some of
Yeah.
those efforts?
Yeah, there are. So, when you really start parsing this out, and you start thinking about science, technology, engineering, and math, and then the arts. And the arts is for us is a lot about design thinking. There are a couple of real key ways that partners can start getting the words out. One is we've got a deep partnership with code.org. In fact, Microsoft is one of the founding members of code.org. And when you think about the Computer Science Initiative for All, and then you think about that there are over 120 million users today of Minecraft. It's an absolute phenomenon. What we did was partnered with code.org and we created a how to code tutorial with 15 different lessons that build on one another through the lens of Minecraft. Because we understand that adults and students alike understand the Minecraft environment. And so to be able to teach and take people through a tutorial on the introductions to coding and how coding is so different from today than it was, when I was going through school. Yeah, it was great. Thanks for throwing in code.org. Go up to code.org and take a look at the Minecraft tutorial and frankly, take yourselves through it. And begin to really promote that into the schools because that will help for Computer Science for All, because that really, computer science just pervades science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. So that would be thing number one. Thing number two is we've got some amazing partners on the phone. I absolutely know it because I know a lot of the companies. And when you begin to think about data and data analytics, and when you really begin to ground yourselves on just how data infused the world is. And the simple fact of the matter is that data will continue to grow at an exponential rate, like growing over 80% of what it is today in the next 5 years. Imagine you're a fourth grader today. What is the world going to be like for that child when they graduate high school? Or you're a ninth grader today and you're thinking, man, in 4 or 5 years, I'm going to be going to college. To be able to help students understand Excel and the power of being able to visualize vast sums of data so that they can begin to derive insights becomes incredibly important. So it's either around using the charting and the data visualization tools in Excel. Or for those of you that are with us and really understand the power of Power BI, begin to introduce that into the schools that you work with, because I think that becomes incredibly important. Another one is more broadly around coding, and I'd encourage you all to go out to the Microsoft Imagine site and see all the programs that we have available free of charge for students of every single age. That helps promote and gets the word out. And then lastly, around Azure and Azure Internet of Things, what we're starting to see are a lot of schools that are starting to put IoT sensors into their makerspace kinds of environments. I mean, I've seen IoT sensors as an example in makerspace where students are assembling little rockets that shoot up into the atmosphere like maybe 5 or 10,000 feet, and the sensors are picking up barometric changes and wind speed changes and temperature changes and stuff like that. Well, great. start thinking about then Azure IoT as the collection for all of those pieces of data, and then running this analytics stuff against it so that students can really begin to learn applied science. So we're coming up with those kinds of lessons, but there's so much creativity by everybody that's on the phone. I just would say, man, don't wait for us. Start exploring these things for yourself. I think those would be, my calls to action on doing that.
And let me just add one other thing, because there's also a public policy aspect to all this.
Oh, thanks. Yeah.
There was a question about, what can we do to help the president's computer science education proposal become a reality. So there's a couple of things that we've been doing in Voices for Innovation. We have a couple. If you go to our website, and I'll put the URL in there. We have a couple of petition campaigns, one for the US. One is to tell Congress to fix the talent gap, and we really focus on three aspects of that. One is, again, encouraging the states to make and boost computer science education in schools, increase STEM funding to help develop domestic talent, and then create more opportunities for technology certifications, which is the other side of this too, right? More certifications. I know partners have told me about the need for that. And then secondly, we have another petition online to support computer science education for students. So in the U.S., a little more than half the states now count computer science towards high school graduation. And so we're trying to get the rest of the states to come along on that. And in addition, what comes after that is training teachers and, having the funding for that. So that's part of what the president's initiative is about, is to, encourage this, but also then we need to provide the funding and the necessary training. And I think a lot of you also perhaps come into that, if you're really passionate about this, to really help schools and help teachers really learn how to teach some of this important information to students.
Yeah, and the other thing that we should do, Jonathan, we have IT Academy
Yes.
in 20 some odd states. And so let's make sure that we share with this group what states have already funded IT Academy. And for those of you that are on the phone, IT Academy is actually a collection of over 1,100 courses that go through the whole span of Microsoft products, and with that, students can achieve certifications on things like Excel or PowerPoint, or way into certifications around SQL, around database administration, other classes and courseware around, like network design, and so it's really quite comprehensive. And so, I think to promote the use of IT Academy in the 20 some odd states that where we already have it would be also a really terrific call to action.
Great. I just shared the URL. We've renamed it Imagine Academy now, but
Ah,
yes,
that's
it's
right.
the IT
That's
Academy.
right. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, that's right. We changed the name in January. I apologize for
Yeah,
that.
no, that's I still call it IT Academy as well. I think we have time for one more question because we're just at time. So if there's another question, either in IM or if you want to ask a question, we have time for one last question. And then, if there's follow-up, you can certainly reach out to me about that. If there are any questions. Okay. Okay, I just said we have 22 Imagine
Oh, super.
Academies in states
Great.
now. Thank you. Thank you.
Fantastic.
All
Yeah.
right, thanks for that. Great. Well, I think then we will conclude the webinar, and thanks again to everyone who joined. Margot, really, really appreciated your time today. I'll follow up with Margot about, sharing out the slides, and we've recorded this, so the recording should be available within the next 24 hours as well, and I will share that with everyone
Yeah,
as
and make
well.
sure that we get the preview for the learning tools. These learning tools are, it's, they're game, they are game changers.
Okay.
And
I will share that as well. I'll follow up with you about sharing those out as well, Margo.
Great. Wonderful. Well, thank you so much, Jonathan. Thanks, everybody on the call.
Thank you. Have a great day, everyone. Bye.
Thank you very much.